Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Giselle Show podcast with friends, where we are making stuff up, being real, and talking about it. You can participate on the show by tweeting to us at The Giselle Show. Our email is studio@thegiselleshow.com. We're on all your favorite podcast apps. You can subscribe. And our website where you can find all of this business is podcast.thegiselleshow.com. With me today is Amos Glick and Tom Conkle and Jonah Thomases. Later in the podcast, we're going to have a fun game to play with fans, friends and family during your Thanksgiving visit. And we're going to have a sketch from the Giselle Show podcast players. But right now, we have our very first metro stop of the day. I'm so excited about this segment. It was really fun to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we take you now. We throw it to Giselle Nett, who is at the metro stop for metro stop of the day. Here we go. Thanks, guys. Here I am at our very first metro stop of the day. We are standing here at this bus stop at the corner of Monterey Road and Huntington Avenue. I wanted to feature metro stop of the day to go a little bit more in depth into the unsung heroes of public transportation, the bus stops. What is at the bus stop? Who goes there? Why would you stop there? Just to wait for the bus or something more? So let's see what this bus stop has to offer, shall we? Come on! Well, first thing it has is this nice sign that tell what the buses are that are coming here. So that's good information right there. The bus stop also have this nice trash receptacle, which you can use to throw away trash. And if you look closely, the trash receptacle have the word trash written in a lot of different languages. Trash, basura, dice, mule, rifiuti, lixo, maikop. You can learn a new language right here while you're waiting for the bus. Oh, speaking of trash, I just heard this nice quote, a motivating quote. If somebody says, oh, you can't do this, you're trash, you're just a trashy person, well, you can remind them that it's called a garbage can, not a garbage cannot. Also, let's see what kind of options the bus stop provides for sitting and resting your tired feet. There's this nice flowery bench. There's this nice bench, and it's underneath the shelter. In case it's raining or windy, you have a little bit of protection. And it have all these benches here, also underneath the shelter, that you can choose from. How are you going to choose which one to sit in? This one? Or this one? Or this one? Or this one? Or this one way over here?
Stop requesting. Please.
Also, at the bus stop, there's lots of nice people that you can talk to. So here are some of them. What is your name?
Chrissy.
Chrissy, hello. And what is your name?
Angeline.
Angeline, what would you say you like the best about this bus stop?
Everybody's friendly. You can ask questions. You know, has the bus come by? Do you know exactly what time it's going to be here?
That's very good. And how about you?
When you don't have money in your tap card, they let you go. They let it slide.
Oh, those are both really nice things.
Yeah.
What do you think could make this bus stop better? Do you think it would be fun if they had for you while you're waiting for the bus some entertainment?
Oh yeah, it would be so much fun.
Okay, so maybe I try to entertain for you. Hold on. I'm doing a little dance for you. A little dance for you.
I would tip you.
Oh, thank you. What about a dramatic reading? No,
Don't go. Carl, don't go. I need you. You was my only love. I've loved you forever. Don't leave. Don't.
Actually, my daughter goes to School of the Arts.
Do you?
No, she's not her.
She's just somebody I met right now.
Oh. You guys just met right now.
Yes.
This is, then what you are saying is absolutely true. Everybody's so friendly.
Yes, yes.
Okay, what if the three of us do a sing-along?
I
came in like a wrecking ball.
Don't put me off, cause I'm on fire. And I can't quench my desires. Oh, don't you know? I'm burning up for your love.
I'm burning up for your love.
I don't know the song.
Angeline's a young lady, and Madonna's like 80. So who is the singer that you like?
I like Drake.
Give us just a little bit of Drake.
I got enemies, got a lot of enemies, got a lot of people taking enemies, got it laid away from, I don't know the rest.
Yay, that was great. You did it. I love it. That was great. Well, that's it from this metro stop of the day. I think we learned a lot. No, we didn't learn anything. But I had fun, and they were so nice, Chrissy and Angeline. So you never know what can happen at a bus stop. You should visit one today. Bye for now. Back to you in the studio. Everybody's doing the robot dancing here. Back at the studio, you have to do robot dancing.
Drop the pace, yeah.
Hazel, that was our very first metro stop of the day.
I like that. And again, that is humanity.
I just love bus stops because, you know, like you say, it's the great equalizer. If everybody's at the bus stop the same.
That's right.
The same thing with, you know, I think I've told the listeners, I used to have some cancer and I have had a double mastectomy. And so when I was going through all that and you have to go into the doctor to get an x-ray, you know, and you put on the little gown.
Yeah.
That's the great equalizer.
That is the great, yeah.
Everybody waiting in the little gown.
That's right. There can be no pretense.
The back.
Yeah, that's right.
You have no pretense. You cannot put on airs.
Waiting for that. That would be bad. Waiting for the bus in the little gown.
In the little gown. Although I'd pay good money just to see it once.
You could take a workshop, $600.
That's right. That's right.
Be go a down rock. There. Go I'd down. Be, part of the be some parsley at the bus right. stop.
You're draped parsley. Yeah.
Draped parsley I in like a little that. Gown at the bus stop. That's that funny. Make perfect sense to me.
It makes sense to me. That's why we're twisted. I love that.
Hey, so ladies and gentlemen, I love this game, this creative writing game of 100 words, writing 100 to 120 words. We have a little theme song for it from the other podcast, which is just this. How many words do you get when you write 100 to 120 words?
120.
That's right, 100 to 120.
I didn't count mine, though, so I may run over.
Oh, that's fine, that's fine. So this week I gave the prompt. You can write about whatever you like. It's just a brief paragraph. And I encourage you, our listeners, please to take this challenge too and submit your writing because we want to share it and we want to hear your voice and have you be creative with us too. So the prompt this week was a little bit about Thanksgiving, the holiday that you have coming up, but a little bit tweak.
Mm-hmm.
And so the prompt was, thanks for nothing.
Thanks for nothing.
So almost, you did 100 words. Here you go. Read for us.
Thanks for nothing, said the guy. Let me start over. Thanks for nothing, said the guy to me on the street outside the coffee shop. He's there every morning asking for spare change. Sometimes I give him something. Today I didn't. Upon hearing his words, something snapped today. Thanks for nothing. I've given you tens of dollars over the past few months. What happened to have a nice day? Or how about a smile? And what about my needs? Maybe I need a buck today. Maybe I need a smile.
a hug. Thanks for nothing. Fuck you.
So much anger.
I have to confess that as I was writing this, I realized I was half stealing a scene from a screenplay that I wrote. So I kind of cheated. But that, it didn't happen until halfway.
Creativity is the art of hiding your sources. Let's face it. Okay.
Oh, that's a great quote. That's funny. Yeah. But it's just like what you guys were talking about earlier about that dump box where you put all your ideas.
The dump file.
They bubble up again and again. That was great, Amos.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, mine, thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah, mine here is sort of borrowing more of an urban legend, I assume, this story. Don't stop me if you've heard it before. But I was thinking, thanks for nothing. And then something you guys were just talking about made me go, you know what? There's this story. So a man walks into a doctor's office and he says, you know, I have no meaning in my life. Nothing is funny. I have no family. I feel lost. And honestly, I don't think I can go on. And the doctor says, I know exactly what you need. There's the great clown, Pagliacci. You need to go see him. He will make you forget your problems. You'll be filled with joy. I mean, he lets you see the comedy in life. And the man looks at the doctor with resignation in his eyes, and he says, but doctor, I am Pagliacci.
Oh.
Thanks for nothing.
We interrupted with our groans.
That's it. That's comedy.
The Tears of a Clown. Now, that's you guys have a Tears of a Clown, Jonna Amos? I do.
You do?
I have the hemorrhoids of a clown, I believe is probably the more accurate.
I have the grease paint of a clown, and he probably wants it back. Yeah.
I have the giant bank account of a clown.
Oh, wow. Nice. Nice. Which I did.
Oh, bank. Oh, clown bank.
Clown bank. Does that mean a lot more money comes out of the bank than ever went in? Yeah. Okay. So the clown bank. Yeah.
When I worked for the circus, people used to joke, oh, she works for peanuts.
But and then for Ringling, clowns did work for peanuts.
Well, there's that. Yeah, that's true.
There's a whole story behind that, I can tell.
We do have one listener submission for 100 words. Jonna, will you read this for us? Yep. Sure. This is from Chris Brown. And hello, Chris. Very nice to hear from you. And thank you so much for submitting this. I love it. This is Chris Brown's submission for Thanks for Nothing. It was one of those thoughts that got repeated enough that it had to be true. I am a sleepy drunk. His early adventures with adult beverages had ended the same way, curled up in some corner sawing logs. So when his new work schedule required getting up very early, his habit of staying up until midnight needed correcting. This is where the gin came in. One drink to take the edge off, turned into half a bottle, and still midnight was greeted. 3 hours of sleep was all he got that night. Glaring at the bottle as he shuffled to the kitchen in search of water, he spoke directly to the beefeater illustration. Thanks for nothing.
Nice.
Very was, nice. Thank you, Donna.
That's nice writing.
That's kind of hard-boiled noir right there.
There you go, Chris. Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you for that, Chris. That Touché. Was great. And again, ladies and gentlemen, please to submit your own creativity, 100 words, a poem, a musical piece. You can find all the submission guidelines on our website, podcast.thegiselleshow.com. And we just want to encourage you to share your own voice. Don't wait for permission. Just do it. Do it. Do it. Do it till you're satisfied.
So I just want to point out that there were no robot dances to that last musical piece.
Oh, mine just now?
You need a little more bass on that.
Do it till you're satisfied.
Oh, here I go. That's it. Yeah, right down
now
here.
Now he's doing robot. So, you know, speaking of Thanksgiving, I wanted to tell you a little story. Sure. Because, you know, sometimes we can just be... It's easy to not be grateful because so much in life is so frustrating. So one time... I had this job in a grocery store. My job was to do the cleaning up and putting the groceries and move the vegetables around. But really, I wanted to be a cashier because that's where the real money was. Not as good as clown money.
Let's
but
face
still,
it. Yeah.
Right? Probably not as good as clown money, but it was the big money, the cashier. So my boss was this guy named Joe Schenkel. But behinding of his back, we call him Joe Stinkel. because he was not a very nice man. You know, he always was displeased about something. He always would say, I'm displeased. So when I asked Joe Stinkle about to be a cashier, can I be? He would just say, well, we shall see, we shall see. But we was never thinking, we was never seeing. So then one time, Joe Stinkle, he said, we're going to do a taste test promotion for Thanksgiving. Some juices, right? They try to cross-promote this juice for Thanksgiving. And he said, we're going to give out samples of these two juices, juice A and juice B, and then people will see what they like and they will buy some juice. So he said to me, Giselle, you get to do the promotion. And I was so happy because I think if I do a good job, then I can move up to be a cashier. So I get a table to do the promotion and I make a pretty sign and I have ribbons and smileys and big writing, you know, say juice test for Thanksgiving. And I have on a pretty apron and a stack of little cups and I have the juices, juice A and juice B. And then all the customers was coming. Oh, I would like to have a juice test. Yes, please. So I give to them, this is juice A, and they try it. And I say, this is juice B, and they try it. And pretty much everybody like juice B better. And all the time after they're tasting it, they say, oh, can I have another sip of juice B? Can I have some more juice B? And I give to them. So then comes in my friend Helmut to do some shopping. He's really nice. And I say, oh, Helmut, would you like to try some juice? So he do the taste test. And of course, he also liked the juice B better. So he said, hey, can I have some more juice B? So I say, okay, I give to him some more. And I give him some more, you know, because he's so nice or whatever he like. And then pretty soon, I'm all out of juice B. But I don't want to tell Joe Stinkle that I'm out of juice B because he will just say, oh, you did it wrong. I'm displeased. So, and I won't get to be cashier, you know. I'm displeased. I don't make you cashier. But just then, another lady come up and she say, oh, can I do the taste test? And I see there is Joe Stinkle over by the cantaloupes looking at me. So what am I going to do? Because I can't say no to the lady. So I don't know what I'm going to do because I only have juice A. So I give her juice A and she tastes it. Then I go behind the table to give her juice B. But I just put more juice A in the cup. And she tasted it and she say, oh, I like this one much better. And she go and she buy it. And Helmut and me was laughing and laughing and laughing and all because it was just always juice A. So then for the rest of the day, we do the test and everybody saying, oh, I like this one or oh, I like that one. But all the time it was just giving juice A and juice A. So then I was really happy that I was not a cashier because then I wouldn't get to do this funny taste test and have such a good time with my friend Helmut. So everything was okay, and I was thankful for that.
That is a parable worthy of Aesop right there. I like that. That was good.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess it just, do you have things you're thankful for? I have to ask the question, because it's close to Thanksgiving.
Yes. I mean, without gratitude, it's impossible to be happy.
Oh, I mean, say if more you're not, about that.
If you're not grateful for what you do have, it creates a barrier to any happiness you might have. I think if you distill why people are happy, a feeling of gratitude, honestly, no joke, is the core value that they have in their life. If
how
you're
do you
grateful for what
when
you're
things
doing,
frustrate you? What do you do to bring yourself back to gratitude?
I usually say first world problem.
Oh yes.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, they need a script by the 11th. I work in the toy department of life. I need to write a funny thing by the 11th,
right.
And I'm stressing about it. What is wrong with you?
That's
I'm grateful
right.
to have these problems.
Yes.
And also, I'm grateful for the people that I work with, my friends. I'm grateful for the opportunity to express myself. And I think just a deep sense of non-entitlement and non-expectation is what the definition of gratitude is.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
What about you, Amos?
That's a complicated question. I know I'm grateful for stuff in my life, but of course we all get frustrated, and I'm in a very transitional phase right now with trying to sell my place and make a transition. And
are you leaving Vegas or going to Vegas?
Yeah, my bosses don't know that yet, but I have a sneaking feeling they're not listening to this podcast. But they might be, so, but they probably know. I mean, everybody pretty much knows at work except for my actual bosses. But I'm a backup, so it doesn't really matter. I can give notice anytime. But my point being is that there's a lot of frustration.
This could have gotten very awkward.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
If you didn't mumble it into the mic every night.
I would say we would fix it in post.
No, it's fine. I think I have a hard time, like when I get into moments of prolonged frustration or dissatisfaction of truly exercising within myself, trying to find what I can be grateful about. Because you can always be grateful about something, you know, especially those of us who lived in such a privileged existence. Mm-hmm. So I need to do that. But I mean, one thing I do as far as what do I do if I'm getting, I can't remember how you phrased it, but if I'm getting
down. If you're getting frustrated or, yeah, getting down.
I kind of borrow from the 12-step world. I've never attended it, but I know a little bit about it because I have some friends who've done it. And I really try to take things one day at a time. So I guess it's kind of like being in the present. But if I'm having a really bad day, I let myself sort of stay in that for the day, and the next day is a new day. And then on top of that, I just work. I try to work. You know, I try to create and do stuff. And then that all of a sudden makes me grateful because I get in touch with, you know,
myself. I find the same thing. Oh, yes. Go ahead, Donna. I find that being creative brings me back to a feeling of my own strength and abilities, and opens up my compassion as well. So I do the same thing. I always try to come back to creativity when I'm feeling frustrated, and that helps bring me back to myself. Yeah.
I think we have that in common. Like that is something about people like us, I suppose, is that gets you back to that core essence of like, why do I feel like I'm here? You know, and if you can express yourself, I mean, I love your writing and I love your performing. So I can tell. I honestly can tell. It's like that's when you're at your best, and you're like you have that voice.
Thank
that
you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too. You're a funny lady, Jonna. Thank you very much. I think the same of you. Oh, thank you. I like to just sometimes in my mind, when I get frustrated, I literally list the things that I'm grateful for. From as simple as I'm grateful that I have all my limbs. I'm grateful that I'm not blown up today. I'm grateful I have enough food on my plate and a roof over my head. And like you say, when you think about all the people in the world who don't have that, it make me feel very lucky, and it calmed me down from my own stupid problems. You know, my problems are stupid.
Yeah.
And then I can continue to be compassionate and try to be helpful in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Louis C.K. has a great bit kind of along these lines of people who are on an airplane.
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
They're just so frustrated with the seats don't go back. They don't have a blanket. They're too cold. Everything's wrong.
It's taking too long. I did not get my drink.
But you're flying in the air.
You're
30,000 feet.
Sitting in a seat.
And, of course, he delivers it beautifully. Yeah. Yeah. Love him.
I heard that.
It puts it all in perspective. So
great.
Hey, almost earlier we did not. Hey.
Yeah.
Earlier, we did not get a chance to talk about the movie that you made. Yes, because ladies and gentlemen, Almost Click made a movie. It's called A Man Wakes Up.
That's right.
Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it's a modern day parable about a guy who lives with blinders to awake one day to a major intrusion into his life in his apartment, .. In his bed. Your voice. Do you say the "in his bed" like really low? Because you got a good voiceover.
In his bed.
Yeah, that's the voiceover I need.
Yeah. In a world.
So the parable aspect of it is that he has to choose whether or not he's going to try to rectify this interruption in his life and keep going along his very narrow perspective, or is he going to open up and let some change happen? And that's what the movie's about. Without giving too much away.
Now, I want to say the way you describe it is very serious sounding, but this
is a comedy.
It's a comedy. It's a great comedic movie.
It's a wordless comedy. It's not a silent film. inspired by the work of Jacques Tati as far as style, and but you know, kind of like a Buster Keaton, Charlie Chaplin.
It have a great clown bit in it. Oh, so funny. Thank All you. This great clowning, physical comedy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I actually think, and thank you to my director, Voki Kalfayan, who I wrote, produced, and acted in it, but I decided it would be better for me, given as a first-time producer, to let someone else direct it. And I chose a clown, Voki, and I chose my scene partner, Jimmy Slonina, he's a clown too. They're all both terrific clowns and actors all around. But I wanted to put someone else in charge of really handling the moment-to-moment visuals. And actually, I don't know if it would look that much different if I directed it, but my acting would have been so horrendous compared to what it was with having a director. He really kept, I think, the reality of the acting in a good place, even though there's a little bit of a style to it. It's the logic and the heart of it that's clown. And the story, not so much the acting, although the acting, but you know, I feel like it's somewhat realistic in a lot of ways too.
I think it
emotionally true.
It do both of those things. You have clowning movements in there and funny bits, and also the characters is really believable because you're taking it seriously and you is committed to what you're doing. You're not winking,
right?
You know,
it's not like I'm a clown.
No, it that's right. It's like. Would you say like mature clowning? That sound weird.
No, I mean,
but it's deep clowning.
Well, thank you.
It's not just goofy. It's deep clowning.
Deep heart, clowning deep sounds clowning. Like an album. It really does sound like an album.
Or kind of, it's like a cleanse. I'll take the deep clown.
Can I have the deep clowning, please? Just bend over right here and you'll be fine. Now, where would I see the film?
Oh, the film. Well, first of all, it's on the festival circuit, and that's why I'm here in L.A. It was at the L.A. Comedy Festival. They have one night left. Well, no, two days. So tonight and tomorrow.
Is your film going to play again?
No, film won't, but I'm just plugging for the festival because they were kind enough to invite me. So you can check out L.A. Comedy Festival. And the festival itself is about films, TV pilots, web series. Stand up. It's all different types, but they have a lot of films. That's why I'm here. But I can't really, for friends, I can send a URL with a password. But until
you've done the festivals, you really need to keep it off.
For now, most of the festivals are like, if it's available.
I found that too. They're like, you have to premiere it or it has to be restricted in some way.
So it's been great.
It sounds good. I'd love to see it.
It's been doing very well. We won the audience award at Dances with Films, which was a really pleasant surprise and really fun. That was a great festival. And then just last week, we won a juried award at Napa Valley Film Festival, which was a great festival. And what was cool about that is that they specially chose a handful of shorts and features that they put into a separate category called The Lounge. That didn't mean, it's just the name, but they were all kind of quirky, offbeat films, some really terrific films, which I could go on forever about them, but I was extremely honored to be the best short out of that bunch. A competition.
Congratulations for that.
Thank you very much.
And do you think eventually you will put it on the internet? So
well, I need to look into... distribution. I don't really understand how distribution works for short films. I don't really think there are
platforms you can monetize. Actually, I've got shorts up on different platforms that
yes,
you can
I
make
should talk
on.
To you about that.
Yeah.
And anybody out there who wants to get in touch with me and tell me how I can make money.
How
off
can
film,
they reach you?
I have one offer for it to be on a compilation, on a DVD compilation, and I've heard things about other ways to.
Yeah.
To put it out there. I'm going to follow up on all of them and see what happens.
I work with a company called Leomark Films. They're a distributor and they aggregate and they take shorts and they monetize them on different platforms all through the world. And the guy, Eric, who owns the company, is a really good guy, loves comedy. So I'll give you his information.
Great. I would love that. Yeah.
This is so nice. You guys is going to help each other. And
See, this is what creativity is.
I also
then
do
will
it
you kiss?
No.
With your fists?
You know what?
You want me to fist him?
We can do the fist bump. Boom. Okay. There you go. Here you go. Boom. Blow it up. We're doing the squid right now.
I did the same kind of thing nefariously last night where I heard two filmmakers, they were in the seats behind me right before my film screened, and one of them was talking about this deal he got. in Europe with some and so he, you know, he's got his short film, and so I was writing everything down. Right.
Everything is like, what do you know? What is, maybe this guy knows something. Yeah.
So, you know, I'll try every avenue I can. But I mean, really why I wrote it is to sort of just put myself out there and do my own thing. And rather than it being a demo, it ended up being what I thought was quite a nice, legitimate short film. And I'm hoping that in transitioning to Hollywood, that it affords me some opportunities to meet people, to be considered as a writer, you know, whatever, producer. Just and get my name on the map.
You also, I'm curious to know, I'm so inspired by both of these things because you guys just did it yourself. You mm-hmm. did not wait for permission. You just correct. Did it yourself. And now that your films are finished, it sounds like a, you know, it can sound like a big monolithic kind of endeavor, like this big looming thing, but it just start with small steps, right? You had an idea and you wanted to do it and you wrote a script.
Yeah.
And then almost, I know that you did yours for crowdfunding, right? Yeah. To get some money.
And even that process was, you got to have a bit of a backbone to do that, to keep on it and to make it work.
It's its own art form. You can't just
set up the account and then stand back.
No, it take a lot of hard work.
If you build it, they won't come.
Right.
That's actually true.
Is that the crowdfunding?
That is the crowdfunding motto and mantra. If you build it, they won't come.
Yeah, it's very interesting. You know,
that's sad.
Yeah.
I've heard, and maybe you know about this too as well. I don't know. But like, you know, there's these different types of crowdfunding formats. So you can do it where, okay, here's my thing, and as much money as I get donated, I'll get to keep that. Or Indiegogo. Here's my thing, unless I get all the way to the end, I won't get anything.
Right.
It's the difference between Kickstarter, Indiegogo, Patreon is another big mm-hmm. one.
Yes.
Indiegogo lets you keep
but
they take larger percentages.
Right. I've heard that there's a psychological thing. I'm just realizing that I have the same doorbell cover as you in my house.
Oh. Anyways.
Oh, I'm wearing it as a brooch.
Anyways.
It looked very nice
you can
on
see
you.
See this? Wow! Wait, nice let me put my you. Shirt back down. Hang on.
That if you can just get as much that the ones that are harder to achieve that those tend to attract more serious donors. I don't know if that's true because
it's
why
true
would
because
you
there's
give?
No, there's no sense of urgency.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And if people think you're not going to make it, and they'll be the one to put you over, I have it's had
maybe that. Yeah, that's
I've had
that's
five successful Kickstarters and never reached a goal on Indiegogo, and I think that's the difference. Is that people are like, "Oh, Tom needs $5,000 for his audio. I'm going to be the $500 to put it over." But if someone goes to Indiegogo, it's like, "Well, he's got $3,200 in there. He's probably all right." Mm-hmm. And they're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other problem is because there isn't that ticking clock or the goal you have to hit.
The urgency.
Yeah, and even the company itself goes, well, if you don't make it, we're going to take a larger percentage of that. So the amount of coal you have to move around to find the diamond is the same, and then at the end of it, you have less money than you needed to do the project anyway. So the logic of not raising what you needed to do but doing all the work doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if I walk away with $2,000 and I did $5,000 worth of, hey, help me fundraise stuff.
Yeah.
Because you still can't pay for what you needed to pay for.
I ended up going through Seed and Spark, which is only for film.
Yep.
And or film-related enterprises.
That's right.
And they do a little bit differently there. They work that if you get to 80%, then you get the green light.
Right.
And I found that effective as a building urgency.
I
will say, you know, every single time tweeted, Facebooked, sent out an email trying to raise money, there was a direct response from that single function of sending out information. And but I had to work at it and just keep plugging. And you feel like you're pestering people, but you got to find a way to do it jovially and non-intrusively, I
guess.
They
have to feel included. Yeah, they have to feel part of the process from the beginning. And I was going to say, what I like doing really commercial genre things. So it isn't always a one step at a time thing. Like I would not have started Trouble without knowing the end game already. Like I knew how much money it could make. So I knew the price point that the feature had to be to sell it to make my money back. And I also did the figures and I ran figures. How many noir fans
clubs and
festivals there were. Oh, so you did a lot of business.
Yes, and if I knew that I could sell a $10 ticket to 40,000 people in the world over 3 years, I would make my money back. So I wouldn't even roll cameras until I knew that I could get my
money back. You're very smart. Okay, so you had a business, you had your business savvy going.
You have to know who it's for before you start it.
Every panel I've seen at a film festival says that, which it actually bothers me because unless you have a thing like a noir, like, you know, I'm not going to sell my, if mine were a feature, I can't really network in the same way for clown style film. I mean,
right. But that's the difference audience? Though, is you're doing a calling card. And if you acknowledge that as your business,
that's
thing,
true. And that
then
was my
that mind. Is the printing cost of the business card.
So there you go.
I would say my end game is I'm going to, like, I've done 50 shorts. I never had the expectation of making money at them, but they often were a way of pointing at it where they go, but can you do a thing with spaceships? Yes, here it is. Can you be funny? Yes, here it is. And so that is the cost of doing business.
That's, I hear
so,
you. Yeah.
So your business plan is loss leader, and there is no shame in it because it will bring... The reason they're saying that on the panel is if it's a business, if you're in the business of creativity on demand, which is what... Luminactus is creativity on demand, but... We would do it only knowing that it's going to make at least enough money to break even so we can do another one. Yeah. The only reason to do the creativity is so you can do another one.
Mm-hmm. Bringing the balance between business and creativity is a deep and rich subject. But the point that I was trying to make when I say step by step is that I just really want to encourage everybody that creativity and creative projects are available to everyone. And that's what I mean by step by step. You do, like, for even when you is doing your business plan for the movie, you do the next step and you do the next step and you make your artwork.
Well, I don't disagree.
The real bonus for going through a process like this is that, you know, I never considered myself a writer and clearly not a filmmaker. And now I'm introduced that way, you know, several times a month at festivals or whatever, you know, and or referred to that way. And so the confidence that you get in your identity as a creator, that is worth a lot.
I agree.
I walk into a room now, I know what I can do.
That's beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Giselle Show podcast, Meet Friends. And coming up in our next segment, we are going to have a Thanksgiving game you can play with your friends and family over the Thanksgiving visit. Maybe we can talk Amos into playing for us a song live. And also the Giselle Show players will present a sketch, comedy sketch. We'll be right back.